Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Today, we are going to engage in the great button debate.
I didn't know there was a debate about buttons.
Apparently, there's a debate about buttons, those things on your shirt that you use to fasten one side to the other. I don't think about it a lot. Maybe that's because I don't wear a lot of shirts with buttons on them.
That is so true.
I am not what you would call a formal dresser. I wear a lot of t-shirts. I wear a lot of tank tops. I do not go to a lot of formal occasions where I have to wear a button-up shirt. So this will be my first foray into the great button debate, I think.
So, Joe, when you got married, did you wear something that required buttons?
It did require buttons, but it was actually... I got married on a beach. So,
oh, really?
Yes, I did, in Bali. And so I had to wear something that had buttons, but it was very comfortable. It was still quite
nice,
informal.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, I was not wearing like a formal suit and tie and all those things. But the shirt did have buttons. But I didn't think a lot about the buttons at the time.
Yeah.
Not to the level we're going to go into today on the program. We're going to learn a lot of things about buttons and why they are placed in the places that they are on shirts, why they're different for men and women.
Yeah, that's weird.
And all the explanations for where this comes from. That's why we're saying it's the great button debate today. Oh, we're getting very serious today about buttons. Let's go ahead and read through the article, and then we'll be back.
A button might seem like nothing more than a trinket in this day and age, but this taken-for-granted object actually has a rich and mysterious history. In the beginning, buttons were largely decorative. However, it was during the Renaissance that buttons picked up their most puzzling feature, their gender-specific placement on garments. While buttons ornamented the right side of men's clothing, they were on the left of women's. Surprisingly, experts were unable to reach a consensus about the button's curious gender distinction. One theory claims that wearing buttons on the right made it easier for men in the past to unbutton their garments with their left hand and grab their weapon with their right hand. Another maintains that wearing buttons on the left made it easier for women to breastfeed their babies. The idea being that women typically held their babies in their left arms, leaving their right hands free to unbutton their tops. Yet another asserts that the button's placement corresponded with ladies' maids. Fashion at the time dictated that maids faced their ladies while dressing them. Placing the buttons on the left made buttoning the dresses much simpler for the maids. As men generally dressed themselves, the buttons were kept on the right. While the mystery remains unsolved, it's worth noting that buttons aren't the only characteristic marking the differences between men and women's clothing. For instance, skirts and dresses have long been considered feminine attire. Additionally, manufacturers have aggressively marketed pink for girls and blue for boys. This is where the campaign Let Clothes Be Clothes has taken a stand, calling for change in the absurd gender stereotypes implanted in clothing and advocating that fashion trends develop into more unisex-friendly styles. After all, it should be people wearing clothes instead of clothes wearing people.
So that is the great button debate. Yes, who knew that there was so much history and so much culture involved in buttons? Well, going back to the beginning of the article, it says a button might seem like nothing more than a trinket in this day and age. If something is a trinket, it's like a decoration, something that's not perhaps not that important.
Small,
something
right?
Small that you just keep. You don't really keep it for a reason. It's just kind of there.
Hmm.
And it says, again, that this taken for granted object actually has a rich and mysterious history. If something is taken for granted, it's something that we just always expect to be there. If a person tells you that you take them for granted, that's not a good thing. It means you just expect them always to be there. And
oh, that's a bad thing.
And to do the things that they do, like if you're married and say you're a guy and your wife says, "You take me for granted," it just means that you expect her to do all these things for you, but you don't really appreciate it.
That's right. You don't say thank you. You don't say, "Wow, I can't believe you did this."
So that's what we're saying buttons are like. We just kind of, they're there. They're a trinket. They're a decoration. They're not that important, perhaps, and we don't think about them, and we don't give them much thought. But it says they have a rich and mysterious history. Rich
sure
here just means there's a lot involved in it. It's very interesting.
It's deep.
It's very deep, and it's mysterious as well. There's a little bit of mystery to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the beginning, buttons were largely decorative. When you say something's largely a certain way, it says for the most part, you know, most people thought, oh, buttons are just for decoration. And actually, they didn't even close shirts or dresses or pants in the beginning. They were just there to make that article of clothing, that piece of clothing, look pretty or kind of cool. If they were guys, they'd put on those big buttons on their shoulders. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
So they looked like they were military men. However, it was during the Renaissance. The Renaissance is like the 1600s, I would say, 1600s, where art became a big deal. Science was starting to flourish. It was a big change in our history as human beings, especially in Europe. That's when buttons picked up their most puzzling feature. If something's puzzling to you, you don't quite understand it. I don't get that. It's puzzling. And if you pick up something, you pick up a feature, you pick up a characteristic, maybe if you travel and stay in another country for a while, you pick up their accent. I have an uncle who grew up in Arizona with me, but he moved down to Texas, and now he's picked up the Texan accent. He sounds like he's a Texan now. So you can pick up things by taking them in, adopting them, assuming them. You become that thing.
That's right. And they picked up this puzzling feature. That feature is their gender-specific placement on garments. Gender-specific here just means that, well, something is specifically for either men or for women.
Mm.
Gender-specific placement means men will have the buttons in a certain place and women will have them in a different place. And you can tell just by looking at the garment that, well, that's a men's shirt or that's a woman's shirt.
True.
That's what a garment is. A garment is an article of clothing. It's just a fancier way of saying a piece of clothing or a pair of pants or a shirt. You can say it's a garment.
But unlike clothing, which is non-count, garment is countable.
Yes.
You can say garments. I have a lot of garments in my closet. But typically it's used more for written English. Although if you go into the fashion industry, they love to use this word garment.
They often call it the garment industry.
True enough. Yeah.
All right. So it says, it goes on to say, while buttons ornamented the right side of men's clothing, they were on the left of the women's. Mm. Ornamented just means it's another word for decorated.
Yeah.
To make something look fancy or to make it just look better or to look pretty. So they ornamented the right side of men's clothing. That just means they were for decoration, basically. As Stephanie said already, they didn't often button them up. They were just kind of there.
Yeah.
Just to make the clothing look nice.
Mm-hmm.
So right side for men, left side for women. That's the gender-specific placement.
Now, surprisingly, experts were unable to reach a consensus about the button's curious gender distinction. Okay, let's take a look at this. If you reach a consensus, it means you're debating something. People have different opinions about something. And finally, you get most people, maybe not all, but most people to agree on one particular method, or here we're talking about getting people to agree about why they put buttons on different sides of shirts and dresses and things way back in the Renaissance. We don't have anyone who ever wrote down in a history book, I guess, and said, well, the reason why we're putting men's buttons on this side is because of this. I think at this point we have historians who are just trying to look back at time and make educated guesses, which means they have some information, but it's not completely clear. So they're kind of guessing why. If there's a distinction between things, it just means there's a difference. So they're trying to figure out why the buttons were placed differently according to gender, but we haven't been able to reach a consensus. There's still a lot of disagreement.
One theory claims that wearing buttons on the right made it easier for men in the past to unbutton their garments with their left hand and grab their weapon with their right hand. Okay, so this is interesting. This is a theory, remember. So a theory is an idea, and it's not proven. It's just an idea that somebody has about something. So, if the buttons are on the right side, men could unbutton their garments with their left hand. So, I guess you were getting into a fight. You had to say, okay, hold on a second. I have to unbutton my shirt, and then I have to reach in and grab my weapon, and then we can have this out. Then we can have this fight. Grab means to reach and take something. Like, if you're going through the supermarket, you will reach to the shelf, and you will grab the items that you want and put them in the shopping cart. In this case, they're grabbing their weapon, so... perhaps that was where they keep their knife or their gun or whatever they're going to use to try and hurt somebody else.
Or they had those swords on the opposite side of their body.
Yeah,
right?
Because most people would be right-handed, so they'd be reaching to the left side of their body. So that's where you'd have your sword or your knife or your gun. I guess if you would get into a lot of fights, maybe you just leave your shirt unbuttoned.
Or go shirtless.
Something where you wouldn't have to say, hold on, let me unbutton my shirt. Then we'll do this.
So it's kind of funny. It's very interesting. Nowadays, men, well, and women, aren't having to constantly defend their lives. But back then, guys...
Depends where you live.
Yeah, that's true. But back then, life was pretty dangerous. There were no police like we have today, and you had to protect your own life, defend yourself. So men always carried weapons with them, unless they were on the farm. Sometimes they didn't. But even then, sometimes they had to have weapons. Now, another theory, I think, maintains that wearing buttons on the left made it easier for women to breastfeed their babies. If you maintain something, you say, this is what I believe, this is true, and I'm sticking with it. So this is the other theory, and this is for women. They think, well, wearing buttons on the left made it easier for women to breastfeed their babies because they had this idea that most women, I think most people, I can say this, most people even today typically hold babies in their left arm because they're right-handed. Maybe left-handed people hold babies using their right arm, but I held a lot of babies. My mom had a lot of kids, so I would take care of babies, and I would hold them in my left arm. So this makes sense to me because in order to breastfeed, of course, you have to unbutton your shirt or dress or whatever they were wearing at the time so that they could feed their baby. So this helped them have their right hands free to unbutton their tops or their blouses or their shirts. A top is another word for a blouse or shirt. We usually do not use it for men's shirts, though, guys. This is only used for women's shirts.
So now we know, or we have two ideas about why we have the men's buttons on one side and the women's on the others. We're going to learn more, but before we do, let's take a short break to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要看一下纽扣这个东西。我们从第一个空格前面的后半句来看。But this taken for granted object actually has a rich and mysterious history. 在这里提到呢，这种常常被视为理所当然的纽扣，其实有着丰富而且神秘的历史。一看到 history, 历史当然就要从头说起咯。所以第一个空格可以选择 F 选项。Sentence F 里面提到 In the beginning, buttons were largely decorative. 原来啊，在一刚开始的时候呢，纽扣最主要是用来装饰使用的。所以呢，第一题搭配前后文意，我们就选择 F 选项。第二个空格，我们来看它前面的这个句子提到 ，Surprisingly, experts are unable to reach a consensus about the button's curious gender distinction. 那么很令人惊讶的是，专家呢是没有办法对纽扣奇怪的性别区分来达到共识。我们常常讲到 reach a consensus， 也就是有达成共识的意思。那么experts 是这一句的关键字，既然跟专家有关，就会提出很多不一样的理论。为什么男生跟女生的纽扣开扣地方会不一样？所以第二题呢，搭配文意，我们可以选择 C 选项。Sentence C 提到 One theory claims that wearing buttons on the right made it easier for men in the past to unbutton their garments with their left hand and grab their weapon with their right hand. 那么其中专家所提出来的一个理论就说啦，把扣子呢放在右边，会让以前的男性比较容易用左手来解开扣子，因为同时必须要用右手呢来抓住他们的武器 ，to grab their weapon。所以呢，第二题搭配文意，我们可以选择 C 选项。而后面呢，句子写到的 another， 当然指的就是 another theory 的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to English Digest. We are having the great button debate today. I did not know that there was so much history and so many theories involving buttons, but today I'm learning a lot. We learned about the theories about why buttons on the men's shirts started out on the right side. It made it easier to unbutton their garments with their left hand and to grab their weapon with their right hand. As Stephanie was explaining, if we're going back to the period like, say, the Renaissance, for example, although there were developments in art and science, it was still perhaps maybe quite a violent time. If you were just out by yourself, walking along a country road, there was danger that somebody would attack you and try to steal what you have, take your money, take your valuables, take your shoes, take whatever. So people carried weapons. Men carried weapons.
Yeah, women.
Not so much women. But for the women, the buttons were on the other side, and that was because...
They wanted to breastfeed their babies, and in order to do that, they would use their right hand to unbutton their top and hold their baby in their left arm. So their left hand would be busy, of course, holding the baby.
And remember, so going back then, it was considered more proper to be right-handed. If you were left-handed, and this even comes up to modern times as well, children who were thought to be left-handed, they were taught to use their right hands instead of their left, because it was actually believed that if you were left-handed, it was a sign of evil.
Yes.
It was a sign of the devil being within you, so you were not supposed to be left-handed.
Right.
So they just kind of assumed that everyone should be right-handed.
But nowadays, if you're a left-handed pitcher, you have the opportunity to make more money than a right-handed pitcher.
Yes, if you are left-handed and you play baseball, do not change.
Right, don't do it. Now, here's another theory, asserts or says this is true. If you assert something, you very strongly state that you believe something. Another theory asserts that the button's placement corresponded with ladies' maid, that something corresponds with something else, it matches it. So it's why it's there. We also use correspond to talk about writing letters to someone. This is different, though. It just means to match. So it corresponded with ladies' maids. Why did maids need buttons where they were, at least on women's clothing, on the left?
Well, it says fashion at the time dictated that maids face their ladies while dressing them. So obviously, we're talking about people with a lot of money here.
True.
Not everyone could afford to have a maid back then. In fact, most people could not. But we're talking about rich people who had maids. Maids would be people that would take care of the house. They'd do the cooking and the cleaning. And
take care of the kids.
Take care of kids and basically do everything.
Right.
And they would also have to dress their ladies. They would have to call the lady by a proper title, perhaps call them lady something or miss something.
Or your majesty.
Or, if it was royalty, your majesty, your grace. They had to dress them, so every morning they would have to put the clothes on their lady, and placing the buttons on the left made buttoning the dresses much simpler for the maids, because remember, they would be facing the person, so it would just be less awkward there.
Yeah.
Placing them. Placing something means to put something somewhere. Mm-hmm. It can be placing something within a room, or in this case, placing the buttons on the left side of the dresses that they would wear.
Yeah, this morning I couldn't find my keys because I had misplaced them. I put them somewhere where they weren't supposed to be. Or you could say, this morning I couldn't find my keys because I placed them in a spot that was covered with clothes. So place just means to put something somewhere. Now, as men generally dressed themselves that back then, even some of the men had butlers, though, who dressed them, or the manservant, as they were called, the buttons were kept on the right. Now, while the mystery remains unsolved, it's worth noting, worth pointing out, that buttons aren't the only characteristic marking the differences between men and women's clothing. Okay, so if you have a mystery, guys, there's something about a situation that is not clear. You don't have all the information. Maybe you'll never have all the information. And actually, because this is something that developed long ago, we don't know exactly why they chose to put buttons on different sides of shirts. We just don't know.
Now, this is described as a characteristic. A characteristic is a distinct feature of something or someone. We're talking about characteristics of clothing here. So what makes men's clothing different from women's clothing are these different characteristics, mm-hmm. the traits or the features of the clothing. For instance, skirts and dresses have long been considered feminine attire. So skirts that women normally wear or dresses, they're considered feminine. So it's considered normal for women to wear them. But if a man wears them, well, people might think it's strange for some reason. They might think it's weird. They might think it's not normal.
Unless you're in Scotland.
In Scotland, but those are kilts.
Those are kilts.
Don't ever call a kilt a skirt in Scotland. You will never make it out alive. Don't call it a dress either.
No.
Unless you plan to die in Scotland, do not do that. But those are considered feminine everywhere else.
Yeah.
Additionally, manufacturers have aggressively marketed pink for girls and blue for boys. Manufacturers are people that make things. Mm-hmm. You can be a manufacturer of anything, car parts, computers, clothing as well. They've done this aggressively. If you do something aggressively, it means you go after something very hard. You're very determined to do something. They've marketed this pink for girls and blue for boys. Yes, this was so aggressive that I never questioned this when I was growing up.
No.
I just thought that boys wore blue, girls wore pink. And that's just the way it was. Just the same as the sky is blue and water is wet and we breathe oxygen, that this is what girls wear.
But by the time you got older and I got older, adult men were starting to wear pink shirts.
Yes, it became actually a trend.
It's kind of cool.
And I still see it today.
I think it's cute.
Where boys are wearing pink. It's not my particular color. I don't think it brings out the blue of my eyes quite as nicely as a nice black or a blue, but
I have two brothers that wear pink shirts and they look handsome. The third brother, no, he won't wear it, and neither will my dad. But this is where the campaign called Let Clothes Be Clothes has taken a stand. If you have a campaign, you have a series of actions that you do in order to achieve a goal. It could be a campaign to elect someone to public office, a politician. It could be a marketing campaign. This was a marketing campaign, and it was called Let Clothes Be Clothes. If you take a stand, you say, this is what I believe, and I'm not changing my opinion. And they were calling for change to happen in the absurd gender stereotypes implanted in clothing and advocating that fashion trends develop into more unisex-friendly styles. When you talk about something being absurd, you're saying it's completely stupid, ridiculous, it doesn't make sense. Gender stereotypes are the stereotypes we're talking about where girls only play with dolls, boys play with cars, and, you know, you can only wear pink if you're a girl, blue for a boy. If you implant something, it means you put an idea somewhere and you let it grow, right?
That's right. And unisex just means it can be either for men or for women,
sure.
for boys or for girls. It's not gender specific. So they're just trying to say that just let boys wear what they want, let girls wear what they want. You know,
yeah.
You can just wear whatever color, whatever style that you want. After all, the article concludes, it should be people wearing clothes instead of clothes wearing people. So it's just saying that we shouldn't let these stereotypes determine what we wear. We can just do whatever we want.
Wear what you want.
Wear what you want, whatever makes you comfortable, whatever makes you feel good about yourself. Just go ahead and wear it. Well, this has all been part of the great button debate. We've gone a long way from the beginning of buttons up to modern times. We're almost out of time. Before we go, though, let's listen to our Chinese teacher.
专家提出来的理论非常多，在第三个空格前面的句子 yet another， 这里指的当然又是另外一个理论咯。 Yet another asserts that the button's placement corresponded with ladies' maids。 还有另外一种理论呢，他认为这种放置纽扣是为了呢来针对回应女仆他们的需求有关。怎么会跟 ladies' maids 跟女仆有关呢？第三个空格我们可以选择 A 选项。 Sentence A 里面提到 Fashion at the time dictated that maids face their ladies while dressing them。当时呢，其实是规定要求女仆在帮他们的女主人着装的时候必须要面对他们，所以如果扣子这样子摆呢，他们是比较能够帮小姐呢来着装打扮的。所以第三题回应前面的 maids， 标准答案就选择 A 选项。第四个空格我们来看一下第三段后半句，提到 It's worth noting that buttons aren't the only characteristic marking the differences between men and women's clothing。 当然咯，你必须要注意的并不是因为扣子摆对不一样的地方，它是唯一一个用来区别男性跟女性的性别差异。还有什么东西也可以用来区别男性跟女性之间的差异呢？第四个空格我们可以选择 E 选项。 For instance, skirts and dresses have long been considered feminine attire。当然咯，举例来说，像这种裙子或是洋装长久以来就被视为是女性的服装，也就造成男女的服装是有别的。最后呢，当然现在大家讲究的是男女平等，所以兴起了 Let clothes be clothes 这样子的运动。而我们后面来看一下 Calling for change in the observed gender stereotypes implemented in clothing and advocating that fashion trends develop into more unisex friendly styles。 这样子的活动呢，其实就是呼吁来改变这种在服装上荒谬的性别 stereotypes刻板印象，而且也提倡呢，流行的趋势应该是要男女皆宜的 unisex friendly styles。 而回应这样子的文句，第五个空格我们可以选择 D 选项。 Sentence D 里面提到 After all, it should be people wearing clothes instead of clothes wearing people。 重点就是人穿衣服而不是衣服穿人咯。所以搭配文意，第五题的标准答案我们就选择 D 选项。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's all the time we have for the program today. We hope you've enjoyed learning all about the history of buttons all the way up from the Renaissance to modern times. Mm-hmm. And remember, just wear what you want. If you're a guy and you like to wear pink, go ahead. If you're a girl, wear whatever you like, and everyone will be a lot happier, I think, if we stop worrying so much about who's wearing what and what colors and all that stuff. All right, for English Digest, until next time, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.